I'm Lee Brown, and this is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, we are going to wild and wonderful West Virginia to talk to Jason Jordan. He's got a showing story that is interesting, to say the least, but also some really good insights for you entrepreneurs and small business owners who may need to explore your own weaknesses as well. So it's kind of a multi-angle episode. Well, frankly, they all are. Enjoy the conversation, and I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
So tell my audience where you're located, where your 80 acres is, because I know they're going to be jealous. How long you've been in and around real estate? You have a bit of a Jordan background, besides the fact that your marriage sounds like a successful one because you've decided where your priorities are.
Listen, I'm not going to say, I mean, this one was successful. That's all I'm going to say. So your viewers can take that however they want.
My viewers know that some bicycles come with training wheels and the training wheels go off, and that's how.
It just took a little while for me to get it right. So I'm in Hurricane, depends on if you're from here, West Virginia. And I've been in real estate for going on 15 and a half years. So full time, probably about 6 months.
Okay.
So, well, the reason I say that is I did vascular implants for a very long time. So I, like other people, wanted to diversify the portfolio. So I started out trying to do rental property, and that became way too much of a headache with doing those two things simultaneously. I kind of put real estate on the side. I'd sell about 6 to 10 houses a year. And then it got to a point to where my wife and I, she's a surgeon, so we were on call at the same time. So at 2:30 in the morning, she gets called in, and then she calls me and says, hey, where are you? And I'm like, well, hey, you left me here with the two kids. So that's when I decided that one of us had to kind of give, and she spent a lot more time invested in her surgery background. So I kind of defaulted and went with real estate, and I am so busy now, which is a good thing. I'm truly blessed with that. But Hurricane is a small growing suburb on the outside of Charleston, West Virginia, and the 80 acres is there. We live up on top of a mountain, and I've been married for 2 years. We have two kids, a 7-year-old and a 7-month-old. I waited until I was 44 to have another kid.
That was a great idea.
As if I didn't have enough turmoil with 80 acres, a huge house, I figured, hey, why not throw a baby into it?
I mean, baby can run loose in the woods here shortly when walking starts. So you just grow a tough child. That's fine.
It's true. Yeah. So that's kind of the background on me. I do work for Patterson & Company, which is based out of Lewisburg. It's about 2 hours south from me, but we were voted West Virginia's best real estate company 2022. So,
well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Are you going to take all the credit for that or just part of it?
I mean, listen, when they went with me, they probably went with the best. So,
I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
But the question is, with that 80 acres, is it only one access point in and out?
As of now. Until I'm allowed to buy a bigger tractor or a bulldozer, and then we're going to make another route. So we actually have a farm. This is Jordan Acres farm up here. So we're getting greenhouses. We have 3 now. We're going to get some more.
You're going to put in those greenhouses, Mr. Jordan?
Well,
you waiting on the state legislature to tell you what you can put in those greenhouses?
I'm not going to say I checked into, and there was a little too many regulations for me to abide by. So I think we're going to go with asparagus and some zucchini and squash.
I mean, zucchini and squash are the things you have to leave on your neighbor's doorstep overnight so they don't know who brought it.
Yeah, and my neighbors are excited. So I think I may have to have an exit point at some point in time, just because if they get up here, they're not going to be able to get out. So
the traffic will back up, man. Your tower's in place. You'll have to work on the whole plan. All right. So let's talk about your rental life a little bit, because I'm always curious about that. And especially in recording this in the middle of 2023, there's so many people that look at their investments and they're thinking, all right, the equities market is volatile and unstable and doesn't feel secure, but people are panicked about real estate. And it sounds like y'all diversified into real estate some time ago, but you went into the rental side. So were you managing your own rentals? Were these, I guess, long-term tenants, and that's where your headaches came in? Was you trying to manage the biggest headaches in real estate, which is tenant management?
Yeah.
I say lovingly, but it's a high headache and low margin part of the business.
It is. And it's one of those things I always say, you don't know what you don't know, right? And you have a great idea. And then when it kind of comes to fruition, there's all these little nuances back and forth that you really didn't realize or you weren't prepared for. So in the beginning, I tried to manage myself and then got myself into a situation where I had some tenants that I couldn't remove. And once they were removed, there was so much property damage. Instead of that small profit margin, right, for your long-term gain, you hope to get back at some point, it was actually a negative. So I learned very quickly, like, this is just not the side that I want to get into. That being said, I have an opportunity for some property management, and I'm a little hesitant because it's almost 200 properties. It's one of those things, I enjoy what I do with real estate. I enjoy working with buyers and sellers, but the property management is such a completely different animal. And I just don't know if I'm mentally have the bandwidth to jump right back into that again. So I'm kind of going to put that off to the side, rental wise.
Well, and I think it's interesting in real estate, so many people look at property management as the easy side because, oh, you just put a tenant in there, but they don't understand that one of the biggest hangups for a lot of people is they don't know the tenants out there know the law better than most landlords do. And they know exactly what they can and can't get away with. And that one crafty tenant that I'm sure the one you couldn't get out knew exactly how to play the system, they can cause an amazing amount of trouble if the property manager is not as dug in and educated as they are. It is just a different beast altogether. And the property managers I know that do it full time, they are crazy organized and so diligent and so intuitive. It's amazing. And I'm grateful for them because I hire property managers on my stuff because the residential side is just an entirely different setup of real estate. And you don't really get as many warm and fuzzies on the property management side as you do on the residential side. But that being said, it is an amazing rental vehicle because if you've got the right kind of tenants and the right professional team, your equity can go up over time. And a lot of folks watch a movie like Pacific Heights. You remember that movie with Michael?
Oh, yeah.
I'm amazed anybody ever rented a house ever again after that one.
Right.
I still have nightmares about that scene. If you remember where the roaches come out from under the door because he was crazy, but that was also in California. It's a whole different ballgame than West Virginia or North Carolina. So
right.
When you moved into it in full time and decided to let go of vascular implants, let me just ask you, what's the biggest overlay between your professional expertise in medical devices versus professional real estate?
Probably the first couple of weeks was a really big transition for me. So medical, right? So I looked at it as body of water in a ship, right? So real estate, you have to find the body of water. You have to build the ship. Then you have to steer the ship, right? And it's all over the place. As far as implants, where the body of water is, you have a ship and you're basically just in the ship going as it goes. So the biggest transition for me wasn't being efficient. It wasn't making calls. It wasn't relationships. It was waking up every morning with something to do. I wasn't leaving at 6 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning, driving 3 hours away. I knew my case, you know, schedule. It was, what am I going to do today? How am I going to be successful? How am I going to push real estate? How am I going to make this transition from medical, which is very, very, very different than real estate, but how can I make those two jive to where I can be successful? And I'll be honest, I think sometimes people lack the ability to look at themselves and where they fall short, right? It's very easy for me to point at you and say, oh yeah, well, you're horrible at this or you're great at this. But to really stop and be in a complete career change, you have to stop and take some inventory of yourself and figure out what are my best assets, right? This is, I'm interviewing myself now because I'm my own business. So I really had to put pen to paper, and I say that literally. And I said, what am I good at? What are my weaknesses? And I have to explore my weaknesses, and I'm going to have to really put those out there because I'm going to have to overcome those fast or I'm not going to contribute to the family. So I think that was the biggest transition was time. I had so much more time and it wasn't delegated to anything. So I had to create my own set of rules and my own parameters that I felt were going to make, and this is a working document, of course, but what do I need to be successful? Who do I need to listen to? Thank you for your input. And it's starting with people who have been doing this for a very long time, who have a following or an influence, who actually have a roadmap that you can kind of start out with. And then I started to kind of get some feelers of as to where I wanted to go with me and how many clients I want to take, what clients I want to take, what I want to deal with. So That being said, the transition was not easy, but I think being able to just really put on the brakes and stop and look in the mirror and say, I have to take an inventory because I'm not going to be successful in any way, shape, or form if I don't.
I mean, gosh, I'm wondering now statistically how many people who dive into real estate sit down and evaluate the schematics of how they're going to do it. I just don't know that it's that high of a number because real estate on the surface looks so easy. And then you go from just putting together that day-to-day outlook, and you're exactly right. When you're turned loose with no discipline and no plan, you have to create it from somewhere. And I know that's a struggle when somebody goes to a brokerage and like, great, here's some business cards. go call a cousin or something. And people are just turned loose and they don't have any guardrails on it. But instead of just looking at it as a calendar, you went into that huge growth place of exploring weaknesses. And so I'm curious if you are willing to be vulnerable enough to tell us somebody who's been highly successful in a previous life, who is looking for their own weaknesses. What would you say was the one you identified that you decided to overcome because it was going to get in your way?
I think here's probably my biggest weakness. And some would say that it's, you're just trying to cover up. I have a problem with delegating. I wouldn't say that I'm a controlling person, right? Because I think people should be able to do what they should do, right? And buyers should buy what they want. But when it comes to my time and my reputation, right, I want to be there for every case. I want to be there for every contract. I want to be there for every showing. And I have friends who have this host. I mean, it's just a whole host of people and they never touch a deal until literally it's signed and they send a thank you card. That's great. Those who can do it. I've found that I can't do that. That's my biggest weakness. And it's still taking me some time, but it does take a toll on you because now I have painted houses. I have built handrails. I have helped build decks. And I'm getting myself into the situation to where I love doing that for my people, right? Because they know they can depend on me. And that's great. But at the same time, it's 10, 12 hours a week that I'm dedicated to something that isn't, I don't want to sound cynical, but it's not profitable for me because that 10 hours, if I were a contractor, I'm going to make a considerable amount of money. But if I'm doing it for free, am I taking away from my family? Am I taking away from the farm? Am I taking away from real estate phone calls or showing? So I'm going to have to learn to delegate. The last probably 2 months, I've probably spent 20 hours putting indoors, building deck. I mean, like it has been phenomenal because that good old Southern charm, it only goes so far. And at the end of the day, there's some things that you just cannot put a dollar amount on. And one of those is my time is very valuable. And I love to put that where I feel like it's best used and to where it's not taken advantage of. So I think that's probably the biggest weakness I have is allowing other people to do something, me saying, hey, can you go do this? Or hey, can you go do this? I take on too much workload and then I get frustrated.
If you are remotely awake, then you know that we are heading into some really tricky economic times. We have home buyers that have put the kibosh on buying. We have sellers who have found out suddenly their houses aren't dipped in 14 karat gold. And as a realtor, you are still trying to keep up with the business you have and trying to answer questions in the meantime while also managing sky high fuel cost at the pump. Never fear, because my new video course is coming out right now and it's called How to Dominate During a Recession. I've been a realtor for 22 years. My business went up every year during the Great Recession, and it's all because of education. This course is 4 modules. There might even be some bonus content for you. The price is $199. I am delighted to bring this out as quickly as possible because, friends, there's no time like the present to make sure our neighbors are stronger and we protect the American dream. Click on this link, www.dominatethisrecession.com, and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content. There's a lot of my audience listening and watching right now that is nodding right along. They're like, I feel you, Jason. I'm doing the same thing, because there is a control freak nature to the business. And when you said I wouldn't call myself a control freak, what I wanted to interject was, I bet somebody else would, because right. You don't always acknowledge it, because as a doer, and when you spent your whole life, I'll just do it myself. I'll get it done faster. If I have to spend the time farming it out, I could have just been done in that time frame, because we forget that you can't scale as much as you want to when you're time is just totally compacted with the wrong activities. And then the thing that helps you get loose of that, well, that I've found, there's a book you have to read. I've got it right here on my desk.
Well, I'm going to write it down.
Dan has coached more entrepreneurs than anybody else on the planet through his program called Strategic Coach. And he ain't paying me to say this, y'all. I'm just telling you, I've been in his program for a long time. And it's not that Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule, but he talks about, as entrepreneurs, we're control freaks because our business rides on our name and it rides rides on our activities and it rides on our reputation. So we have a hard time letting go. And then you start expecting 100% of everybody around you. If this painter can't be perfect, I'll just paint it. Well, you can't grow at that point. And so if you learn how to say, if the painter does it 80% of the way I want it done, that's pretty darn good. And then people actually overperform when you give them the freedom. So for example, if your painter charges $20 an hour in Hurricane, if you say, look, I'll pay you $25, I will pay you a premium in the market. I need you to take care of this client. They're actually going to operate faster. They have the right equipment. They can provide a different experience. Your clients think you're the daggum king because you knew the guy. Meanwhile, you're out there working with somebody else. And the person I would also reference here is every time I think about adding assistance or building out your team in the business, Sandra Nickel, who is a realtor icon. She's in Montgomery, Alabama. She's known as the hat lady because she always wears a hat. And Sandra has been so influential in, I mean, I'd say hundreds of thousands of realtors at this point. She will tell you anytime she meets a realtor, the day you hire an assistant is the first day in the business. Because if you wait until you think you need one, you're so deep in the weeds and you're so busy, you can't see straight. And it's hard to make a correct hire at that point because you're in reactive mode. And if you're in reactive mode, well, come here. I don't know anything about you, but come here and do something for me. You hire people right. who value what you're bringing to the table. And that's where, as a realtor, we have to learn to see ourselves as micro entrepreneurs. And a micro entrepreneur who wants to grow can't grow by themselves. And I mean, how many times have we heard the sharks on Shark Tank talk about the team somebody's wanting to build? And are you in it full time? And who's doing it? And then actually, the other book Dan wrote, it's not on my desk. It's called Who Not How. And a lot of times you come up with an idea. You're like, I want to go do this. I'm going to pick up these 200 property management units, right? So you gave me a perfect example. And you're thinking, all right, how would I do this? It looks like a good opportunity. And Dan's whole point, it's not how, it's who. It's all right, there's 200 doors over here. Who can I hire that could handle these 200 doors? And then I can bring it into my operations so you can scale faster and still be at home with that 7-month-old who needs to know right. who daddy is, and a 7-year-old who's probably at the most fun age any kid is. And a wife who probably wants to look at you when she's not on duty, and these greenhouses you got to fill up and then get dispersed. And so you start to realize you get the right who's in place and everything starts to happen. So I love that was what you pointed out because it's so relevant. Well, not just in real estate, but in any small business, you want to make growth happen. You've got to have to plant more plants and then you got to pull the weeds.
Even in personal life, right? So I've done the same thing over the year. I'm 44. So when you're younger, you want all these friends. I want to hang out with all these people. I love all these people. Well, as you get older, you figure out, if I call this person at 2 o'clock in the morning to pull me out of a ditch, they're not coming. That funnel starts to get smaller and smaller and smaller. And you find yourself wanting to spend time around and with those people who you know value your time. I've always said you can kind of take some of the things out of business, apply them to your personal life and vice versa. Just like they're pulling the weeds. When you have a friend, and we all have them, you put so much effort and time and energy into that friendship, and it seems to never pay dividends. You always make the phone call. You always send the text message. They always have a problem they need to talk about. And you find yourself like, my God, this person knows nothing about me or my family because I only facilitate their conversation. So I've tried to apply it to personal life too, because it's a huge time suck, I guess you could say, being surrounding yourself with the wrong people.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here writing down who's going to pull you out of a ditch at 2 a.m. because I think that's a fantastic phrase for, as you said, funneling down to the most important people, which should have a priority place in your life and in your calendar. But then also this goes into the managing client relationships and how many realtors look at their clients only as a transaction, aren't thinking about the fact that they just lost a spouse and maybe I should check on them and see how they're doing in that space, or maybe their kid's about to graduate. And do they need any help with anything right now or just a shoulder to lean on? And all of those relationships could be nurtured if we choose to. And if they don't nurture us back, they're not on the ditch pulling list.
Yeah, it's true. I get a lot of referrals, a ton. That's 99% of my business. It's people that I know. It's a friend of a friend. It's someone who I've done a transaction with. And to me, that's how you build a very solid foundation of any business, right? Those are your staple business. They're always going to give you good word of mouth. They're always going to come back, whether it's 2 years, 10 years. They're going to send their family to you. I've never handed out a business card, be completely honest with you. Not one single time. And maybe it's a West Virginia thing. Now,
I'm judging you a little bit right now, but that's
I've been judged a lot in my life. Joy, you just jump on the pile. But I've always told myself and people that I don't know and that I just met, I've got some people coming in from New Jersey that I'm working with now. So I take them to a small country store and I meet them around people that I know. People I know are going to give them a very good first impression of what the area and what the state is.
And they're also once over, aren't they? Is that your safety plan too? They're going to have a look at this person that's out with one of our boys?
Maybe. Everyone's got to have a safety plan. But I've always been a handshake, look in the eye kind of guy. For better or for worse, I've lost $1 million deals and I've walked away from $1 million deals and I've gotten $1 million deals. So it's not all money is good money, right? Not all friends are good friends. So to me, if I can look someone in the eye and I can shake their hand and I can answer their questions, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. And there's some people I just can't help. I just can't do enough for them. I'm not there enough for them. I can't find them a house fast enough. You're always going to have those people. You can't satisfy everybody all the time. So I've just always made myself available. And I'm telling you what, listen, this drives me crazy. I can call, and I mean this, and for all your people listening who are realtors, how many times do you call another real estate agent during the day and they do not pick up the phone and you don't get a text back? And it drives me crazy because I'm thinking, how are you going to make money? How are you going to sell this house? If you can't pick up the phone, then at least text me back and say, hey, on the phone, have your driving thing come up. But I've been ready to show a house and cannot get somebody to answer the phone, cannot get a text. I call the broker and I'm like, listen, I need to get in this house. So what do you do? There's all of these different things that buckets we could jump into, of course, but
delegation piece, right? So if somebody's so busy, they can't pick up the phone or text back, probably need help. I'm in the middle of a transaction right now. The listing agent, she sells a ton of houses. If I need something, I don't even try to call her. I text her and then her assistant emails me back. And I know that what she's doing is she gets my message. She has somebody else send it over to me. So now I just message her assistant and I'm fine with that because then the information is what matters. I love her and I respect her, but she's not the key here. The information is the key.
Yep.
And so remove the friction, I guess, is what we're doing there. But I wrote down not all money is good money. I think I've heard somebody say that before, but apparently I needed a reminder. That's my new mantra for today.
You're welcome.
Obviously, the angle of the show is the crazy things in real estate. And we're sitting here dropping some business and some personal growth tips too. So it's kind of an all-purpose episode. And before you tell your story, because every realtor has encountered something that is just, this makes no sense. I want you to dispel a myth about West Virginia, because I think y'all catch as much flack as Mississippi does for being backwoods and family trees or sticks and that kind of thing. I find it to be very unfair because I love West Virginia. I love Mississippi. And obviously, if people coming in from New Jersey. So people are very interested in what you have there. So tell us a myth that's absolutely not true and should be dispelled.
I have all my teeth. Yeah. So that was the first thing that the guy from New Jersey said. He said, what I really like this place. It's not what I thought it would be. And of course, I'm going to ask the question, what do you think it was going to be? And he said, well, I thought you were probably going to be overweight and have a Mountain Dew. And I said, what commercial or show have you been watching to where you thought that was going to be the first person that you meet in West Virginia? It's out there and I see it a lot, but I think it's just slower pace. Its values are still very, very key here. It's still a good old boy slap on the back. My word is my bond kind of place. And I love that about West Virginia. And people have asked me, even when I was in the medical field, why don't you move? Why don't you go and just make more money somewhere else? Because I don't want to. I like all four seasons. I like the people here. I'm in a ditch at 2 o'clock in the morning. If somebody passes, they're going to stop. And other places, they just won't. And I love it here. And again, I have all my teeth and I'm not related to anyone that I'm married to or have ever been in a relationship with. So
that's also why not everybody should take the 1-2-3-and-me test, because some things you're better off not.
Right.
And obviously, you have Diet Mountain Dew. So I think you should have pointed out to him that it probably is a bigger seller than regular Mountain Dew anymore.
Right.
It's my daughter's favorite drink. Now, she's 18, so I don't fuss at her about all the chemicals in her system like I do grown people, but yeah. I do think that's hilarious. So thank you. So there's your advertisement for the West Virginia Tourism Board. We'll talk about Bridge Day another time, because that's like my favorite of the state holidays that exist. It's amazing. So in the time that you've been in, everybody runs off to go Google Bridge Day now. Well, enjoy, because West Virginia's got some interesting things. So your full-time 6 months, 15 years of messing around at the edges, what have you seen? What have you heard? What just blew you away to the point where you were like, y'all not going to believe this?
Well, I was preparing because I've seen the show, right? And I've listened to so many of your podcasts. And I said, this happened to me 2 months ago. And I'm serious as I can possibly be. In almost 15, 16 years of real estate, I've never had anything like this happen before in my entire life. So I'm showing a house to the really good friends of mine. I've sold them a house a couple of years ago. Now they're upgrading. So we're looking for another one. We find a beautiful log house in the woods. Beautiful. And they love it. We love it. We're looking at all the pictures online. So we go there. So upon arrival, we hear this barking, crazy barking. I'm like, oh God, they have dogs. So the dogs come out and then the guy, you hear him come out. He says, oh, they won't bite. They're fine. So we go into the house. He's not leaving. He's just sitting there, which I'm like, okay, that's fine. Well, he's got on these really short shorts and a tank top. Okay, fine. So I was like, well, we'll start upstairs. So we go upstairs. This dog, little dog follows us upstairs and we're in one of the bathrooms. She looks at me and she says, do you smell this? And I said, unfortunately, I do. It smelled like a dead body in there. It was horrible. And I couldn't figure out what it was because it was a very distinctive smell. So this little dog follows us up and we're in this bathroom and we get in there. The husband is a building inspector as a career. So of course he's shutting the doors. He's making sure they're level, shuts the door. We're in there. The dog is in there and I hear this dog whining and I look down and it starts to poop everywhere. Diarrhea everywhere all over this floor. So we're kind of looking at each other. So I did what any good realtor would do. I pull my phone out and I'm like, are you kidding me? Because I've got to record this. I'm like, this does not happen to normal people. I'm looking at them and she's just like this. And she's like, I can't believe this. Then all of a sudden, as if it wasn't bad enough, the owner breaks out in operatic song. He is singing and had a great voice, by the way, but it was just really awkward. So he's singing. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So of course I'm recording everything. We get out of the bathroom. I'm like, hey, your dog had an accident. We walk through the house. They love the house. They want the house. So I'm like, this is so odd. So we walk out. They say their farewells. They get in their car. He comes out, the owner, with no shirt on. And he says to me, what do you think? And I said, well, you mean about the house or like, where are we going with this conversation? And he says, yeah, about the house. We talked, you know, batted some numbers back and forth. I think if we can meet here, I think we got a deal. And he said, well, he proceeds to tell me why he's moving and all this and that. So my wife is in the car with my two kids. He didn't know that, but he did offer a date if I were so willing to accept. And I said, right. I'm flattered, but no. So we ended up putting in an offer on this house that night, offer accepted. And then we went and he turned off all of the utilities. So we couldn't even do an inspection. And my buyers just backed out. They were so freaked out by the whole entire incident that they backed out. We did find them another house recently. But yeah, craziest probably 3 days of my entire life in 16 years, 15 years. I have never experienced anything like that ever before.
Well, of course, it's probably my fault for asking you about West Virginia first, because now I'm going into a deliverance space in my head and I can't help it because Arthur Smith, who played that banjo,
was no banjo.
He was from Charlotte. And so I have a connection there geographically. But I was also afraid you were going to say he came out on the front porch minus the tank top and the short shorts. So if he left the short shorts on, I think that was a gift to you and you should be grateful for that gift.
If it would have gotten even later, I think that might have been a possibility.
But I'm with the buyers, and I think our sellers forget that sometimes, because even if he cut off the utilities in all good faith because the house is under contract, they're immediately going to say, what in the heck are you hiding? Because now I won't know what's going on to cause the dead body smells that were in the house. I think it's the reason realtors can't really ever go away and AI can't replace us, because there is no smell-o-vision. And until you go in the house, it might look really good in the pictures and the video, and you won't know till you're in there.
We've all been there, and my hat's off to some of these amazing photographers, because you can take a dump and make it look like a mansion. So
they are gifted. It's very true.
Artfully gifted. Yeah.
Right. And actually, that's also a reminder to people, when you see a really cute house, like a log cabin, you also got to make sure you ask your realtor about the loan situation on those things, because log cabins are a special case scenario and they look really good in a postcard, but they can be an interesting bear when you're buying one. But I'm not going to lie, there's one I'd love to buy, because I frankly want to be my own little house on the prairie. Carolyn Grasso was like the luckiest woman to ever live.
Well, I've got 80 acres and I know a guy who'd probably sell you 10 if you were so inclined.
I already own 10 and my husband says we can't have any more because we already have 34 chickens and I'm ready to buy some goats. And he's kind of afraid that he's going to come home one afternoon and there will be goats in the yard. And it's a fear to have of me. I acknowledge that.
I think he knows there's going to be goats in the yard at some point in time.
So Jason, if somebody's looking for a realtor in Hurricane, West Virginia, or any of the surrounding areas, or frankly, they have questions about their vascular implant and need somebody in the right direction, how do they find you and your expertise?
So they can look me up on Facebook, Jason Jordan Realtor, and they can also find me on Instagram. That one's more of a personal one, Raylan's Dad 416, or they can go to our website at pattersonandcompany.com and look us up and you can find me there.
Awesome. Well, remember guys, all of Jason's contact information is in the show notes for the episode. But if you follow on the personal account, you can't say ugly things. You can only say nice things about personal life because we are good people that listen to and watch this podcast. But Jason, thank you so much for coming on. I wish you all the best as you continue to figure out how to overcome your own control freakishness, because that's a rite of passage in real estate. You'll get there. I feel confident and appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you for the invite. I really appreciate it.
All right, guys, say something nice about Jason in the comments. Say something nice about West Virginia, because some of y'all need to be nicer about states you don't live in. That's and make right. sure you subscribe for more, because you just don't know what we're going to talk about over here on Crazy Shit. And leave your tank tops on when you're showing a house.
Please.
Next time.
All right, thank you.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more Crazy Shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.